The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, the first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I had the pleasure of attending the 2018 Synod Assembly in Chattanooga with Linda Harold and Alan Boda. This was a gathering of close to 400 Lutherans from Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Georgia. The business that we accomplished was good. We learned a lot in the workshops. The worship that closed each day was absolutely glorious, and it was a great weekend. The theme for this year's assembly was, "Now what?" We considered this question during worship, during table discussions, and with speakers. And this is definitely not the first time this question has ever been asked. Pastor Tiffany Cheney, in her sermon that Saturday, reflected on the times that God's people have asked the same question. Adam and Eve ate the apple and then asked, "Now what?" Noah managed to get all those animals into the ark, and then the sky opened up and it began to pour. Now what? Three strangers knocked on the door of old and barren Abram and Sarai and told them they would have a son. Now what? The disciples hid from the authorities after Jesus' crucifixion. Now what? Saul was struck down on the road and blinded. Now what? God's people asked the question over and over and continue to ask the question. As Lutherans, we just celebrated the Reformation. It was a really big deal. It was a 500th anniversary. But now what? This past Friday, over 200 youth and many faithful adults drove home from the University of Alabama. We finished up a week of Affirm, a mountaintop experience. Now what? I counted, and in the last year, this congregation has had 5 baptisms and 5 confirmations. Now what? We individually all have now what moments too. Graduations, new jobs, births, retirements, both bad news and good news from the doctor. I will always remember taking our first child, Brian, home from the hospital and realizing that all of a sudden we were now alone with this new little boy. That was a really big now what moment for Alan and me. And on this Father's Day, some fathers are perhaps still asking that now what question. Our gospel text today from the book of Mark contains 2 parables, both of which are now what moments. Parables are about ordinary, not churchy things, things like seeds and soil. People relaxed when they heard Jesus talk this way. This kind of a story was non-threatening, and it was comfortable. But be careful, because parables aren't always as simple as they seem or as comfortable as they seem. In the parable today, God's kingdom is described first as a seed and then a mustard seed, ordinary things. The seeds are put into the ground, and no matter how tiny they are, no matter how seemingly insignificant, these seeds will grow. And they will grow not based on anything that the sower does. For when the sower sleeps, the seeds sprout and grow, and the sower has not a clue how. That tiny little mustard seed grows into an enormous shrub, the greatest shrub. But in reality, that shrub is a weed, a large, overbearing weed, a weed that takes over every inch of the garden and even attracts the birds. The birds are actually kind of interesting. It's such a pastoral image to think of the leaves of the mustard bush spreading wide, creating a kind of shelter and a safety net for the birds, a place for them to nest and to rest. But there might possibly be a different interpretation. I'm always amused by the scarecrows as I drive up and down the rural byways. Their intent is to scare the birds away from the garden so that they don't eat the seeds. Do we really want birds in our garden? So this morning we have the kingdom of God now described as a big old weed overtaking the garden and attracting the pesky birds. Now what? When Alan and I lived in Georgia, the previous owners of our home planted English ivy in the backyard. Y'all know where this is going. The ivy looked great, and it seemed like a good idea. It filled all the empty spots where the grass wouldn't grow, and it minimized all of the erosion that we had been struggling with. Unfortunately, the ivy spread to every corner of our yard, and it took over our yard as well as spread into the neighbors' yards. And we fought so hard with that ivy. We installed railroad ties to try to hold it in. We spent hours trying to pull out the roots. We cut down ivy from the tree trunks. We even tried mowing the ivy and regularly spraying with Roundup. But I swear, every time we turned our back, every night while we slept, that ivy grew even more. And before we knew it, the yard was completely overtaken. That's the kingdom of God. A kingdom which cannot be contained or tamed or controlled. A kingdom which cannot be held back by railroad ties or killed by Roundup. A kingdom that changes our landscape and invades our lives. For preacher David Lowes, the kingdom also includes and even invites the birds, the undesirables, those we don't want in our gardens, those who are normally not welcome, but those who also need to rest and nest in the expansive branches of God's love. We often try so hard to control the kingdom of God. We try to domesticate the gospel. Just soften it a little. Take off the rough edges. Have it say what we want it to say. We try and protect our gospel inside a building or behind a fence. We try and dictate what we and others believe or don't believe. We try and keep God in our own little box, ignoring all the other boxes and assuming that our box is the only box and the right box. But we can't. We can't control God's kingdom The kingdom of God is now. It's been planted. It's out. It is growing without us. Now what? I visited some of our homebound members one day, and they took me out in their backyard. And at first glance, it was an absolute mess, an overgrown mess. When I looked more closely, though, it was so obvious that in some years past, that garden had been tended and very much loved, but now it was overgrown. The plants and the trees and the vines had taken over, and the couple had lost control. Instead of taking a weed whacker and a bottle of Roundup, though, this couple took several large plastic bags and a whole stack of plastic pots. They dug up bulbs for me, jonquils and irises and tulips. They gave me tender starts of plants, crown of thorns and gardenias and forget-me-nots. They shared with me the fruits of their garden, and the joy on their faces was beyond words. That's the now what. We can share the abundance of the kingdom of God as a gift. Tell others, as the children so easily did today, about Jesus. Invite others, even and especially those we might not always welcome, into the garden. We can show others the love that we have so graciously been given, letting the kingdom of God invade and take over another's life. We can also receive the kingdom is a gift that we don't hide under a bushel or behind our lack of words, but instead share the gift with others. So now what? For Faith Lutheran, God has planted and set free the mustard bush in our midst. We have been blessed here with so much. A God who we know loves us, worship that sustains us and nourishes us, lifelong friends, a beautiful building, children and teens and families, abundance and promises and hope and life. God has given us life. We can't contain or control the kingdom, but will we try to stop it? Or will we embrace that big old mustard bush, welcome the birds, and trust in God to do what we cannot?